on the midway between Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'm Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. On the East Coast in the Midwest, it's already September 11th. And that is going to be dawning soon, too, for the West Coast time zones. And in a lot of ways, 9/11 has been kind of eclipsed by this disaster of Hurricane Katrina. In effect, we'll be talking about them both a little bit throughout the night, as our guest Red Elk will join us next hour. You know him. He's an intertribal medicine man, self-described half-breed Native American. He is a member of a society of contrary Native Americans, or maybe a contrarian group would be a better way to phrase it, who do not follow the normal path of mankind. One of the 9 members of the Red Web Society who are working to bring understanding of many hidden sacred teachings to the people of Earth. He's also an honorary member of the Cherokee Nation's Twisted Hair Society. In 1973, Red Elk went on a 69-day fast, taking water, juices, and vitamins. On or about the 49th day, Red Elk began to experience a vision about the future. For a little more than an hour each day for 3 days, Red Elk saw and experienced a future that he did not want to see, but which he is willing to share. And we'll do that next hour on Coast to Coast AM. I have a thought on 9/11, which I'll share later on this hour, and then we'll do open lines, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've done it. And there's been a lot to report in the news. Not all of it crypto news this morning. This one out of CNN. On the flooded streets of New Orleans, you can hear the dogs barking for miles. Dogs are trapped in houses, on roofs, tied to porches. They are frightened. They are hungry. For the pets left behind after Hurricane Katrina, relief is on the way, but it's a race against time. It's a dire situation, said a spokesperson for the Humane Society of the United States. Rescue workers are worried about most pets locked inside homes whose food and water supply may have run out. For them, rescue is their only chance of survival. Federal agencies and law enforcement agencies overwhelmed with rescuing people has left animal welfare to groups and civilians to help these stranded pets. Well, not so, says Mark, who emailed to say that a story in his newspaper ran saying that rescuers had just 3 days to rescue the dogs. That third day would run out Monday the 12th. After that, the dogs would be shot. It is already documented in St. Bernard Parish already. I ask you to mention this on the air with the goal of buying a few days for dogs to be rescued. It isn't their fault. He's exactly right. I mean, left to their own devices, chances are most dogs would have found a way to survive. They would have followed their instincts. But many of them stay behind because, you know, they're acculturated to life with humans. Or they've been abandoned by humans and the rescuers wouldn't take them. And either way, somewhere along the line there is a human involved with the death of a dog. And we ought to keep that in mind and help in whatever way we can. Andrea even writes to say there is some video going around the internet showing an overstressed police officer in New Orleans shooting dogs who appear to be lost pets. The sheriff interviewed claims they're doing it for humane reasons and to protect themselves. But what this reporter saw was clearly cruel killing of lost tail wagon pups who weren't posing any threat. You know, dogs are a real concern in a lot of ways, too, especially with the return of mosquitoes that routinely happens this time of year, that there could be more and more pets who are going to become infected with things which are coming into the water supply through their lives, through the water that's around them, and or with the corpses that are around. We just don't know what's going to happen, and they have to be very careful with that. A Mexican Army convoy began crossing into the United States on Thursday to bring aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Did you hear about that? Carrying water treatment plants and mobile kitchens that can feed 7,000 people daily, the convoy bound for San Antonio is the first Mexican military unit to operate on U.S. soil since 1846. It has even sent a Mexican Navy ship to Mississippi with rescue vehicles and helicopters. Isn't that what Kathleen Keating predicted on this show about 3 years ago? I could swear. Oil companies came under new fire yesterday when it emerged that ExxonMobil's profits are likely to soar above $10 billion for this quarter on the back of the fuel crisis. That's profits. That's $110 million a day. More net income than any company has ever made in a quarter, according to an article in the Boston Herald. It's also a stunning 69% increase over the same period a year ago and a 34% jump from the $7.6 billion Exxon made just last quarter. And they're claiming poverty. They're saying, oh, we got to raise these oil prices. Look what happened to the oil rigs. They're getting this oil from someplace. They're making this money somehow. Does this mean we get our tax incentives back? Didn't the oil companies get some big tax incentive program? Is it time to cancel that, I think? In New Orleans, divers inspecting the ruptured levee walls supposedly have found burn marks on underwater debris chunks from the broken levee wall. I personally don't believe this, but it's been sent to me by a few people, so I promised I'd read it. One diver, a member of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, saw the burn marks and said they immediately knew what caused them. There are a lot of unsubstantiated stories going around, and there are some stories coming out of New Orleans which had theoretically been substantiated. They've been reported by mainstream networks, which are turning out not to be true after all. But this is one story which has been reported by the New York Times and apparently verified several times. Police agencies to the south of New Orleans were so fearful of the crowds attempting to leave the city after Hurricane Katrina that they sealed a crucial bridge over the Mississippi and turned back hundreds of desperate evacuees. That's according to two paramedics who were in the crowd. The paramedics and two other witnesses said officers sometimes shot guns over the heads of fleeing people who, instead of complying immediately with orders to leave the bridge, pleaded to be let through. The witnesses said that they had been told by New Orleans police to cross this same bridge because buses were waiting for them there. Instead, a suburban police officer angrily ordered about 200 people to abandon an encampment between the highways near the bridge. The officer then confiscated their food and water, the four witnesses said. The incidences took place in the first days after the storm last week. They kept saying, we don't want another Superdome, and this isn't New Orleans. There probably are many verifiable cases of stories like this. These are the types of stories that get me thinking about how racism was involved. Stories like that do. Bruce Babbitt, former Secretary of the Interior, in an editorial said, after the victims are interred and public officials held to account for the destruction of a great American city, Congress must determine what to rebuild and what to abandon to the encroaching waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Bruce Babbitt says, New Orleans will survive only as an island surrounded by miles of open water. It will take a national effort led by our best scientists, engineers, and city planners to achieve even this reduced vision of an American Venice. We must take the time to redesign the city to function as an island with an island infrastructure, including relocated streets, highways, and utilities. This island will need higher, stronger seawalls and levees sufficient to withstand new threats, including the rising sea levels and bigger hurricanes spawned in warming Atlantic waters. And when Michael Brown left FEMA earlier this week, my mother-in-law sent me this quote. She's never lied to me yet, but I don't have any verification for this. Apparently, when asked, what's he going to do now after being sent back to Washington? Michael Brown said, I'm going to go home and get a stiff margarita and a full night's sleep. As opposed to the stiff margarita somebody was drinking when they came up with FEMA's plan for New Orleans. All right, lots of blame to go around for New Orleans, local, state, and federal. That's all I'll say about it. There is an interesting question, though, sent by Timothy about the bio labs that are around New Orleans. They all seem to be okay, but there is a lot of work being done in biodefense, also reproductive biology, neuroscience, and gene therapy happening in various primate centers around New Orleans. And he just raises the question, does anybody know what's going on with that? It's an excellent question, and I don't know, but I do know this. There are many believers out there of a guy named Masaru Emoto, Dr. Emoto, a Japanese scientist who believes in the relationship between our thoughts and the effect on water. And apparently there's an organized world effort to cleanse and purify the floodwaters in New Orleans by using these methods of Dr. Emoto. It's a very simple method. Press release here says it'll only take a few minutes of your time. Simply send love and gratitude to the water and envision the water around New Orleans being clear, clean, and pure. What will make this process incredibly powerful is if the love and gratitude energy is sent in one monumental surge at a specific time. The time and date for this event is Sunday, September 11th at 7:11 Pacific time. 7:11 Pacific time. Let's hope it works. And if it does work, then we should all say collectively, I think, domo arigato, Mr. Emoto. Remember that show we did on parasites a couple of years ago? I mean, I've been doing the show off and on now for about 10 years, mostly off. And even when I'm on, I'm off. But anyway, we did a show on parasites, a very interesting show. And there was this one bug that was fascinating. It would crawl into the mouths of fish. It would eat the fish's tongue, but latch onto where the stub of the tongue was and then remain there in the fish's mouth, eating the fish's food. And then that way the fish would barely be kept alive, but just enough to keep feeding the parasite. Well, that parasite has been found for the first time in waters off England. Ordinarily, that's only a West Coast phenomenon, but now it's been found in the UK for the first time ever. Just something to keep in mind. And finally, a little mystery from Natick, Massachusetts. Police there are investigating the theft of a 400-pound elephant sculpture made of granite. It's been on display at the Natick Memorial Works. It's worth about $2,500. When it was installed outside of the building, it took three men with a dolly to remove the big granite elephant. And police just aren't quite sure who could get away with something like that quickly. But they're looking. Police don't know, of course, whether they stole the granite elephant, you know, for the art of it, or whether they took it for granite. Sorry, couldn't resist. A little email. And a thought about 9/11 before we go to open phones coming up on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Well, lots of email to report after the show last week with Matt Savinar. You might be curious to learn the number one email that I received in the last week or so was about the Coast to Coast Singles group that is on Yahoo. Dory in Eugene, Oregon said, I just want to thank you for announcing Coast to Coast AM Singles formed on Yahoo last Saturday night on your program. Hooking up with these wonderful folks means a great deal to me. I'm mostly housebound and isolated and, of course, single. Don says, thanks for mentioning the singles group. Now I have found someone. He said, not that I have found somebody yet, but I did find lots of interesting people. Some a little odd, but very interesting, Don writes. Richard says, thank you for mentioning this Yahoo group. I finally have someone to discuss the show with every night without being thought crazy. And Tracy says, my company relocated me from Tennessee to Wisconsin, and I would like to make friends with people in Wisconsin that listen to Coast to Coast. Tracy, Coast to Coast Singles at Yahoo Groups. Go to Yahoo, click on Groups, go from there. And by the way, welcome to Wisconsin. That's my neighbor here in Minnesota, but I used to live in Tennessee. So you've moved from the state where they produce Jack Daniels to the state where they drink it. Works out pretty well. I'm just kidding, Wisconsin, of course. But remember, if you want to fit in, Tracy, in Wisconsin, just keep saying, anytime anybody asks, just say, Brett Favre was the greatest quarterback in NFL history. They'll love you. Thank you so much for Tim's thoughts here. I believe he said you're doing a fine job on C2C. He said, but could you make your intro a little more livelier? My intro's weak. He said, did anybody say I look like Paul McCartney? No, no one's ever said that. Maybe when I was young and my heart was an open book. Steve said that he's been seeing a gaggle of Canadian geese flying due north in an awful hurry. So like the weirdness that George has been talking about lately. Eric says he sent $5,000 down to help for the relief of Hurricane Katrina victims, and we're grateful for that. And thank you for everybody who has made contributions to all the various radio efforts across the country. It is going to make a big difference. And yet we should not forget 9/11 in all of this, because there were so many victims there, and their families are still suffering. And I still think about them and what those average everyday people went through, suddenly thrust into this world drama against their will. And I think they were called up for active duty, and deaths they did not deserve, fighting terrorists in stolen jets with just office supplies and nerve. 3,000 killed for beliefs twisted other than their own, working at their desks or sitting on flights that won't come home. And in the end, I don't give a damn about the reason for this attack. I just want those two towers to stand, and I just want those people back. Our servicemen and women choose to sign up, fight, and die, but victims like these don't get a vote. Of God, they must ask why. Two tall towers of steel and glass, four planes and the Pentagon, full of people with briefcase shields, once here, but now are gone. I pray I could return my clock's hands before the blue sky turned to black, because I just want those towers to stand, and I want all those people back. But we sure showed those bastards, didn't we? We brought the war to them. The next time, with more than just office supplies, we took out the Taliban. And the world is better off without Hussein, and we ought not to forget it. Even if the war is wrong, most Iraqis don't regret it. Yet I'd present Al-Qaeda with Afghanistan. For Saddam, I would gift wrap Iraq. If I could see those two towers stand once more, and I could have those poor people back. Those are just my thoughts on this anniversary. You will take us anywhere you want to go. Coming up next, Be Here Now, as we go coast to coast with open lines. Next on Coast to Coast AM, my name's Ian Punnett. And you could say we're taking it to the streets here by going open lines. It's been too long. Haven't done it for a couple of weeks. I'm kind of geeked about where you're going to go with this, and I look forward to hearing from you here in just a second. Almost all the lines are already full, but we'll get you on the air as quickly as possible. But real quickly, can I apologize for something? Did I just say that I've been doing Coast to Coast for off and on for 10 years? Did I say 10? I for some reason, I thought I did, and I just wanted to be clear. I think it's only 7. And I wasn't trying to, you know, pad my resume as though I was trying to get a job with FEMA. You know, I wasn't. I think that actually qualifies me for the head of FEMA if I do that. But I didn't. It wasn't my intention. And by the way, speaking of gaffes, I know it was unintentional. And CBS says that they didn't have information this specific when they reran an episode of The Price is Right earlier this week. But it is true. It did happen. It wasn't just a story floating around. When they reran an episode of The Price is Right, the final showcase featured a trip to New Orleans and a speedboat. That was the showcase prize. It was from a previously aired show from some time ago, but CBS apologizes nonetheless. We'll find out what helped. Whatever else I have to say I'm sorry for, coming up next when we go to open lines on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Red Elk coming up. We'll talk about his vision and lots of email coming in this week with questions for him already. I look forward to you joining that conversation later on Coast to Coast. But first, let's go west of the Rockies where Gary is in New Hampshire. Is that right? Around the east of the Rockies. Okay, good. Thank you. Gary's east of the Rockies. We have two Garys, one east and one west. So let's go to the one in New Hampshire first on Coast to Coast AM. Gary?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
As you know, we need pure, clean energy.
Yes, sir.
May I propose a global United Nations project, the magnitude of the Manhattan Project, to develop controlled thermonuclear fusion reactors?
Could I propose that if we're serious about it, we don't entrust it into the hands of the UN.
That's a necessity. That's a necessity.
Okay. Why is that a necessity?
Pardon me?
Why is that a necessity?
We're a global family.
Well, I think that there are lots of ways to do globalism without as much bureaucracy is all I was proposing. But fair enough. So when do you think that could produce enough?
Within 10 years, if we had a Manhattan magnitude project.
I will tell you that a friend is putting in a home-based system like that. And he thinks it's going to drop his home heating bills down to something like $30 a month. And that's saying a lot here for the upper Midwest. So I fully endorse the pursuit of that. And whatever it takes to get it done, then. Let's go there. Let's go to Rose on the wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Rose?
Good morning. Ian, I love your poem, but let us not forget the tower. I'm in New York City. Tower number 7 also fell the same way. Giuliani's $50 million command center. So three of them went down. But I want to really focus on Katrina, and I want to make about 3 points. First of all, I want to ask you if you know the story of the Duke University students who looked at TV and said, oh, I can do a better job than this, and how they couldn't get in. Then they did get in with, you know, they kind of fabricated AP press passes after they got one. And then when they picked up a few black people, they couldn't get out until a call was made to FEMA and some special, you know, being that they had AP press passes, they were able to take those people out. But I want to really share a story that I heard from this is the sister of, you know, the group, the music group, the Neville Brothers.
Sure.
Yeah, and they did a great song about a former storm called, I think, Louisiana, which would be great to play in some of your bumping music. But I heard her on Pacifica, which is WBAI here, and thank God for them because they have an archive and a lot of people can get on and get a lot of this information, which is very valuable because we need to get some answers over here. We're not getting the same. Okay. Now, basically what she said is a lot of people came together because they were basically abandoned. She had two ladies in elderly ladies without legs in wheelchair. She grabbed people and she stashed them at a school. Then when still no help came, she came back. She found an abandoned school bus. She broke a window. She got her people in, and she got out. But she also told one story in the telling where she was on the roof at one point, and she mentioned, because you know how they said, oh, somebody was trying to shoot down a helicopter.
Right.
Well, when people weren't being picked up, and they were also, and not the Coast Guard, because the Coast Guard was doing their job. They were told, think on your feet. Don't bother about
right.
getting permission, right? They went, you know, slinging the white sheets, and they said, well, maybe we're not being seen. So she said her neighbor shot up in the air, you know, to get the attention, you know, and...
Well, I would never hope that that's a plan, to shoot at an aircraft
but,
to get their
people
attention.
People are
that's...
in a crazy situation,
yeah.
you know, and people aren't responding to helicopters, and...
Well, and maybe in some cases that's what they were doing, was shooting to get the... It certainly
yeah.
makes more sense than... Then shooting at the helicopters
exactly
to try to knock them down
you're
from the
sky. Ground. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. And she actually said they came and put an X of red paint, those particular helicopters. She also told a story about being in a Superdome.
We get now, one more here. Go ahead.
Okay, what? This is the last one. Where, you know, the people were made to stand out in the rain for 4 hours to be searched for weapons and for contraband, right? That happened. But somehow when she mentioned about, and she said it in such a way where she didn't want to kind of stick her neck out, but she let us know to the effect, well, I don't know who these people were, but those particular murders that happened, it doesn't seem to be that the people, all I'm saying is the same way that we have questions that don't add up about 9/11, we need to keep on focus and get the full answers. And I appreciate your program, and I'll continue to listen. God bless you.
Thank you, Rose. And by the way, too, that song she's referring to, I didn't know the Neville Brothers also did a version of it, but if it's the same song that's also getting a lot of airplay, Louisiana, done by Randy Newman, it's actually called Louisiana 1927, and it is a terrific song. Let's go west of the Rockies for the other Gary on Coast to Coast AM. Gary?
Hey, Ian.
Where are you going to take us?
Hey, I wanted to know, I was recently reading an article in Reader's Digest about... hydrogen cell-powered cars. GM is coming out with it for 2007, supposedly, but the article kind of left you hanging a little bit. I don't know if you or any of the listeners have maybe heard of this.
I have not, although I have hoped to hear of that. So we'll just we'll leave that open. And have you tried Googling that even yet? Because you think news that big would be getting, you know, posts anyway on these gearhead websites, which I occasionally go to.
I haven't researched it, but do you think you'd hear more about it? I was amazed that they have it developed. They showed pictures of it, everything, and, I mean, it was amazing and from what I read, but they just kind of left you hanging, but it's supposedly 2007.
Well, so. It'd be excellent. That may be then the last time Exxon or any of these oil companies get a profit of $110 million a day once they finally get that out there, and that'll be interesting to see.
I should hope so. Hey, thanks. I appreciate your show.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. And we'll see what people say. Maybe we can get time for a response on that. Danny is on the wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Danny?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make two points. First is a confirmation, a real eerie choice of words George Bush made about the Gulf Coast damage. He said it's as if the world's worst kind of weapon was used. I thought that was really eerily in congruence with the whole thing about the HAARP from the Russians. I mean, everyone else was saying bomb, but he said a weapon, and that's what we've been, that's what y'all have been calling it on the show.
Except that we could always say that a bomb is a weapon. There's no happy bombs, right? I mean, I'm with you in the sense that that's an interesting turn that the word takes, but, you know, just to play devil's advocate there, that is just something that people just say all the time. It's just like a bomb went off or it had been attacked or something. But fair enough. So interesting. So maybe he was letting his slip hang a little bit there, you're saying?
Right. And my other point was, I know George Nouri's carried a few times, the whole thing about the end of the world and that priest who always talked about it initiated with an earthquake or some kind of catastrophic event. He even called it race riots in the middle of the country. I think that the whole implications of the racial issues with New Orleans, this is Rodney King was nothing, and we saw what happened in the L.A. riots. He said that would instigate something that would cause a NATO or a U.N. invasion of the U.S. guys. It'd be like the Russians or the Chinese invading the U.S. I just wonder what your take is on that, if anyone's been mentioning that.
Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that people are treating African-Americans in New Orleans like they're a weapon about to go off. And I think, actually, the evidence of that is to the contrary. I think it's really great to see how many people of all colors have reached out to those people in New Orleans. Here in very white bread Minnesota, for example, I mean, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of families are coming up here. They're moving to Camp Ripley, which was a state site that was getting scaled down, and they are being moved into private homes. I think that response may diminish any reverberating effects. I'd like to think that would be the case, and with all the telethons and all of the efforts focused on New Orleans and helping the victims, that wasn't something that we saw after Rodney King. You know, it wasn't something that we saw in the wake of those riots. So I hope that that balances it out, and that we won't have, if New Orleans is going to be a template for anything, it'll end up being a model for how well we can come together, not how far we can be torn apart. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. First time caller line, Russell is on Coast to Coast AM. Russell?
Hi, Ian.
Where are you with all this?
Well, I feel that we're pointing the fingers at the wrong direction by pointing at a bureaucracy, because we can't expect anything else but bureaucracy to do just exactly what they did in New Orleans. And we're pointing the wrong fingers. We need to be pointing right at the president. We have military bases that have stockpiles of food, fuel, generators, cots, medicine, whatever they need, and president had the authority to declare a national emergency, and if he didn't have the authority, he did have the authority to declare an emergency session of Congress and ask for permission to send those military goods down there.
Now, wait a second. I thought the president did actually declare a national emergency 2 days before Katrina got there.
Right.
I mean, he opened the door for all types of federal aid even before Katrina hit land.
Well, a state of emergency for the individual states is not the same as a national emergency.
Okay.
A national emergency would have allowed him to send all the military gear and put it in the hands of FEMA and make things happen. He could have had planes in the air within minutes instead of days.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess I think there's a lot of blame to go around. I'm just not quite willing to say this all rests in the president's hands. I think the president has bobbled this a little bit, but I think that, you know, you really have to start with the mayor of New Orleans. Then you have to go to the governor. There are state homeland security offices in Louisiana. There are city homeland security offices. There's a lot of money floating around that people were not using to help those already in need. And so, yeah, I think that in the end, the buck does stop with the president, and there may have, you know, especially with hindsight, we know better about what he could have done. But I'd hate to have it just be only focused on the president, because I think it lets a lot of other people off the hook who should be right there getting grilled just as much, if not more, for the opportunities they had. Because for God's sakes, it was the end of their block. I mean, for the rest of us, it's the end of our country, right? Or here in the Twin Cities, New Orleans is at the end of our river. But I mean, for a lot of the people there, a lot of the politicians, it was right down their street. And I don't want them to get a pass quite yet. If that's the way it shakes out, fine. But wild card line, Bobby is hanging on Coast to Coast AM. Bobby?
Hi. Actually, I was wondering if you guys could play the recording of the werewolf from Dayton, Ohio.
You mean the man dog guy?
Yeah.
People are reluctant to say werewolf, and I think it's an interesting distinction. As of last week, it had disappeared mysteriously from our studio, and I'm not sure why. There were some complaints that people said that you could hear the sound of an animal being tortured on the tape, and that you could hear the sound of something being slapped. I went back to listen to it again, and it was gone. So I will, again, once more request that that be returned to the studio, and hopefully next week on Coast to Coast AM, I'll be able to fulfill that request. Let's go to Albert on the wild card line. Albert? Hey, Albert?
Yeah?
Albert, let's get that music down if we can in the background just so I can hear you.
Yeah, I didn't know you were coming back. Yeah.
Is it well, you're on now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm from Austin.
You're going to want to get that radio off in the background, too, okay? It's live in the now. Okay?
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, me and my friend, Kid Chris, have been volunteering our time at the San Antonio shelter, and a lot of evacuees are drug addicts. So I thought it was my civil duty to sell them weed and crack because now that they have cards from FEMA, deb cards.
Yeah. I'm really not sure where you're going with this. And I have absolutely no confirmation of anything you've already said. So sounds kind of like a personal axe to grind. But I should have had my first clue that you would be clueless when I pick up the phone and you're listening to some other station. Then you got on. Sounds like you were just trying to get yourself on the air. Let's go Christopher, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Christopher?
Hey, I'm on it. Nice to talk to you. I'm glad to talk to you.
And to you.
It sounds like you got a good show going on tonight that's coming in next hour.
I'm looking forward to Red Elk. Where are you going to take us?
I need to ask you if you know anyone who knows about the La Llorona, L-A-L-L-O-R-O-N-A, the Banshee in Mexico?
No.
Drowned her children in 1554 A.D.
No. Tell me about this.
This woman wanted her children so bad, and she was with a man, and she was getting less attention from him, and she got jealous about it, and she took her children by the river, I think it's the Rio Grande, and killed her children, and now she's still looking for her children. She's skeletal in nature. She's very dangerous, and you can OBE to her if you wish, and she's known to have a horse head as punishment, plus looking for her children.
Who gave her the horse head, and what's the significance of that?
Well, because she's evil, and what she's done, she is sentenced to eternity of looking for her children. And because she killed them, she's still gallivanting around any body of water that she's looking for the souls of her children. And part of the punishment of doing that, on top of it, is she's got a horse head. She is known as the Diabla.
Right. Mexico. And what's the most recent sighting?
Well, the most recent sighting, I have a friend that comes in my mother's bar once in a while, and he talks about the recent sighting was at Rio Grande River.
Well, how recent?
It's about like a month or so ago.
Okay. If there's any like news story about this or any source that we could talk to or anything like that where we could follow up, make sure you email us at Coast to Coast AM so that we could do that. And I would love names or phone numbers or any other place where we could turn to. And we'll just let that be the last call we get for open lines here. I'm surprised nobody else picked up on the dog story. So I'll reiterate that. I don't know whether there is some shoot to kill order in the next couple of hours to be, if you pardon the term, executed in New Orleans for dogs that have been left behind in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. However, if it is true, it is wrong. And there ought to be more that's being done to rescue those pets, because whereas people will have lost everything that they own this week, they could really use a friendly face and some good news and a reunion coming up. I hope more efforts will be done on that. Make a call if you can. Coast to Coast AM, my name's Ian Punnett.